Greetings of love to one and all this morning. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I invite your attention to Daniel, the third chapter this morning. Daniel 3. I would like to think of the thought of choices this morning. We have all made choices today. We have all made choices throughout all of our life. It is part of our being. We all made a choice this morning to come to church. We also made a choice this morning when we woke up. The attitude, the approach to life that we are going to have today. Do you see the sun coming up in the morning as another day that God has given to exalt Him? Or when you hear that buzzer by the side of your bed, do you see it as just another day? And I don't want to get out of bed. All those things, our approach to life, the choices that we make, have a direct bearing upon how we view life. And so I would like to read Daniel chapter 3 at this time. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits, breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it upon the plains of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then Herod cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, shall the same hour be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. Whoso falleth not down to worship, that he shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded the king to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, And the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. He commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then those men were bound in their coats, their hoses, and in their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flames of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. The form of the 4th is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw all these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was in hair their hair singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amidst the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. We have the account here this morning of the 3 Hebrew children. They were taken captive when Babylon overtook Jerusalem. And we have these young Jewish men away from home, away from mom and dad, away from those, the very people, the very thing that had brought them up in the path that they were taking. And yet when they were taken captive, they made a choice. They made a choice of who will I serve? That image that King Nebuchadnezzar had made here was approximately 125 feet tall. Just imagine that. A golden image for all to see, for all to worship. Throngs and crowds of people. Multitudes. And yet there were 3 men here that chose to not bow. I have 5 points this morning. What choices will do for us. The first point I have is the choice to serve God determines our worship. Verse 18 says, Be it known unto thee, O king. They were not ashamed. They were fully persuaded in the God of Israel, the God that they had known. Verse 12, the last part of it says, These 3 men have not regarded thee, O king. How is it this morning? What is the choice that you have made? Is God real in your life? True devotion this morning calms the soul. You see these 3 young men this morning in the heat and the passion of the moment. By all the indications, they knew the stake that was before them. They also knew that very likely, unless the God of their of the one that they loved, unless he spared them, they would die in a fire. But even knowing all of that, the calmness of soul. But you see, Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, the choice that we make this morning of who we serve, the God that we serve, the one that we worship, makes all the difference in our approach to life. See, Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, became radical. Came rash. It inflamed his passion. And he made him to heat that furnace 7 times hotter than it ever want to be heated. Where do you go this morning for your security? In the trying scenes of life, where do you turn to? Joshua 24, verse 14 and 15 says, "Now therefore," is Joshua speaking, "Now therefore fear ye the Lord, serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now those that are closest to you, they know where your security is. And we can fool man, but we will never fool God. Luke 12, verse 34 says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Now we like to say today, generally speaking, that where a man's heart is, that's where you're going to find his treasure. According to the scripture here is, find where the man's treasure is, and that's where his heart is. It's just that simple. It's not complicated. Look at a man's checkbook. Look at a man where he spends his money. Look where a man spends all of his time. That's where his heart is. It's just that simple. What do we love to do? Do you love to sit at the couch, put the foot rest out, and read the paper after a long, hard day? And let mom and the children, you know, just let me alone. I just need my time and space. But through the course of the day, early morning, what is our affection? Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. One thing we need to remember this morning, that God won't share our hearts with anything else if we want true devotion. The areas of dark and dusty corners the Lord don't do. Isaiah 55, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." May our security this morning be found in God. Second point I have is, the choice to serve God sets our principles. Our rule of conduct. You have the account in Numbers 13 where Moses had sent out the spies to spy out the land. There were 12 spies that went to the land of Canaan. They were there for 40 days. They came back with stories that were almost mind-boggling. They also brought back a cluster of grapes that took 2 men to carry. And And yet, 10 of those men said that those men over there in Canaan, they're giants. We don't stand a chance. They will overtake us. We will be defeated. There is no use. Joshua and Caleb said, let us go up at once, for we be able. And it almost came that they stoned him. But see, when we set our principles, when we allow God to set our principles, Joshua and Caleb knew the God that they served was able. They also knew that His promises were true. They also knew the God that had saved Noah in the flood. They also knew the accounts of other holy men, that God was true to them. They remembered the God that brought them out of Egypt. They remembered the God that brought them through the Red Sea. And in that test and trial of time, they knew that those men that were there, that they were too big to miss. They were to be defeated. Where the other men were, they did not see the goal. All they could see was the men, the giants. And they knew that the giants would kill them. What is our principles this morning? What is our rule of conduct this morning? What governs that? What do we live for? What do we live for? What is the purpose of life? Do you only live for the things that are maybe a month away? Maybe there's something over here. And then when that day is come and gone, then we reach out for the next. Do we allow the God of heaven to establish our goal? Do we allow the God of heaven to establish our feet? God is able. The things we live for this morning is a direct indication of our choice of who we are allowing to set our conduct, to allow our principles. Third point I have is the choice to serve God establishes our goals. Verse 28, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. What makes a good day? What makes a good day? Is it a day that all goes exactly how you planned? There are no interruptions, and life is smooth. Is that only a good day? Do you see the day that when you're going down the road and well, you see a man with a flat tire. So do we stop and help him? But no, I need to be there in 3 minutes. I can't help him. I sure hope somebody has time. And we rush on. To see someone that has a question, maybe a perplexing thing of life, and they don't understand. Do we have just a fraction of a moment to stop and to listen? But what what makes our day tick? What is our goal of life? Ruth 1 verse 16 says, and Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." And that was Ruth speaking to her mother-in-law, Naomi. Both of their husbands had died, and Naomi was going to return, leaving the land of the Moabites, where Ruth was from, and she was returning. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not." She had determined in her mind that choice that she had made, that she knew that the God of Israel that Naomi loved was the God that she loved too. What do I feel good about at the end of the day? Hebrews 12, verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before." Patience. What is our goal? What do we have our eyes fixed? See, it's only been in the last 70 years that before that it was thought to be an impossible feat for a man to run a mile in less than 4 minutes. I don't keep track of that much, but years ago they thought it was impossible for a man's body to be able to run a mile in 4 minutes. But in 1954, in a race in the British races, it's told, there were two men there, Roger Bennett and John Handy. They were running a foot race that day. They were the only two men, and as they ran, they were the only two men ever to run a mile in less than 1 minute. It was a race of the ages. And Mr. Handy led the whole race. The crowd was in the heat in the moment of the race. And there was a lot of noise, a lot of excitement. And in that mile race, Mr. Handy ran. He ran the first quarter of a mile. He ran the second quarter of a mile. And the third quarter, he, in his strategy of racing, he slowed down just a moment to relax and to give him that final surge at the end of the race. That last quarter mile of the race, as he was giving it all, there was something that happened in his mind, and that was he could no longer hear the sound of the foot behind him. He could no longer hear Mr. Roger. And so in the heat of the moment, in the noise of the crowd, with only 15 feet left to go, he looked back to see where his competitor was. And in that heat of the moment, the other fellow, Mr. Rogers, passed him and he won the race. They all both did a feat that day. They all both ran the mile in less than 4 minutes. But who received the crown? The man that had run a mile faster than the other man, all but the last 15 feet of 52,800 feet. Or was it the man that had ran the 15 feet faster at the very end? What is our goal in life? What is our perspective? Do we have our eyes set? Do we understand the purpose, the end of which we seek? fourth point I have, the choice to serve God shows our choice of friends. Be it known unto thee, we will not serve thy gods. That's what the three young men said in the scripture of which we read today. There was no alternative route. Be it known, we understand the fire. We understand the thing that may befall us. But we will not serve thy God. One thing we need to remember this morning, that our closest friends influence our lives. And we tell the youth that. And it's true. But it's just as true for us men that are 50 years old. The people that we love to be with, the men, the people that we love to gather their wisdom, their knowledge, their approval on our life, they have a much bearing influence upon our life. Proverbs 27 verse 17 says that iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. There are those people that you love to be with. There are those men. I think of one man at home right now. A Christian man, not a Mennonite in any way, but a godly man. When you call him, the first thing you do, the first minute or two, you talk about the Lord. Just hands down, you know that. And then you go on about what we call about. Then there are those people that you work for, that after you're there for a week or two, your wife is glad when the job is done. Oh, we say, no, they don't have a bearing on our life. Well, praise God if they don't. But in real life, if we're honest, they do. The people that we are with affect the way that we live. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You have the account in 1 Samuel chapter 20 of David and Jonathan. And in that relationship there, Jonathan, the son of Saul, the one that should have been heir to the kingdom, naturally speaking. But yet Jonathan knew that David was to be the next king. And in that chapter, and in that time of oneness with one another, it says there that Jonathan loved David as his own soul. In our choosing of friends this morning, let us not be the lower commonator. Let us not choose friends that are of lower character. But let us seek this morning, Not that we have anything to boast of. Not that we are anybody special. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking of character this morning. But let us live our lives so that among our friends, of whoever we associate with, that my life in no way brings the the level of character down, but neither that we choose friends that do the same to us. The last point I have is the choice to serve God determines our destiny. Galatians 6, verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall reap life everlasting. Do we understand this morning that life is a one-way street and there is no returning? We are all headed for eternity. We are all headed toward the end of our life. And the choice that we make of who we love and the one that we serve is going to have a direct bearing upon where I spend eternity. It's been just a little over a month that my brother passed. And I was there at his passing. Our whole family was there, with Stephen's family also. It was one of those moments in my life that I will probably never forget. The calm and the peace. The slipping away in a peaceful way. And to know that all is well. An experience like that can be had if our sins go before. I also remember, though, the day that an old man died that I knew from my childhood. The last 3 hours of his life, no one could stand to be in the room with him. There was actually fire coming out of the tips of his fingers. He felt. That's what he thought. That's what he seen. That's what he... In anguish, he cried out. But that choice is made prior to those times. The destiny was sealed. Oh, I guess my cry this morning is, let's make our choice for God today. In closing, I would like to read from 1 Peter 1, verse 10 and 11. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto. I'm sorry. That's 1 Peter. I want 2 Peter. I'm sorry. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Give diligence. The place that God has called you, give diligence in that calling. Whether it be here or whether it be in Alaska where we live, God is faithful, God is able. But in that willingness of God to do His part, we as men must give due diligence to make our calling and election sure. And may God help each of us to be faithful to His end.